Hey everyone, welcome to Making the Jump, helping kids transition successfully from children's ministry to youth ministry. My name is Brittany Nelson and I am the creator of Deeper Kidmen. And this topic is one of the ones that I'm just really excited to talk about. I've taught it at a few different conferences, but I'm excited to make it available in this format so that you can watch it and learn and brainstorm and think about this important transition from home, right? Or from your church office. You don't have to go to a conference to hear it. But one of the reasons that I'm so passionate about this subject is because, well, one, I have a heart for people in a season of transition. I love helping them through those seasons of transition and what that transition might look like, because I think there's a lot of growth that happens in a transition. But I'm also really passionate about it because I'm a former children's pastor. And my youth pastor was my husband. And so the youth pastor that I got to work with alongside as the children's pastor, obviously I was very close to because I'm married to him. I made our lives really interesting for those few years when we were both leading full-time ministries like that. But because I have a background and experience in children's ministry, but I also get a really inside look into youth ministry and I get to volunteer with my husband's youth ministry, I feel like I have a really cool kind of big picture mindset when it comes to children, youth, and family ministry, because I can understand, right? And you know this too, right? That when you're rocking a baby in the nursery, it's not just rocking them, right? It's helping them learn that church is a safe place so that when they turn into preteens with really tough questions, right? They know that church is a safe place to ask those questions. Or when you're helping, you know, an elementary schooler, you know, figure out different ways and opportunities that they can serve, you're helping them build that foundation so that when they're in high school and they're really exploring their gifts and their talents and their abilities, you can point them back to some of the things that they've enjoyed and that they've loved doing in the past. So anyway, all that to say, I'm really excited about this topic because I think it's super, super important. And now working in children's ministry and having my foot a little bit in youth ministry too, I've also noticed some of the differences between the two ministries. And a couple of years ago, I was really curious to see what other people thought. And so I posted in both children's and youth ministry Facebook groups. And I just said, hey, what do you think are some of the differences between children's and youth ministry? And some of the answers were pretty funny. Someone said, youth pastors do lock-ins. Children's ministry has VBS, pick your poison. Somebody else said, youth pastors tend to stay more relevant. When I switched from youth to kids, I lost all my swag. All right. This one makes me laugh every time. One is like herding goats. The other is like herding cats. I don't know. I don't know which one is which. So you can pick and you can decide. Another one that I liked too was children's pastors teach kids to say, excuse me, after they burp, and youth pastors have a contest and give a prize for the loudest burp. And then of course, there were some more serious answers too. A lot of answers talked about how children's ministry often has more administration and maybe delegation than youth ministry does. Some of the people talked about in terms of teaching that with kids, it's the foundational kind of filling them up with Bible stories and Jesus, the saving grace and love, and kind of the who, right? But then as they transition to youth, they focus on the how. So how to apply that foundation in their everyday lives. So of course, right, there are lots of differences between children's ministry and youth ministry. And we have to acknowledge that, right? Like there just are. It's just part of the fact of ministry. There are differences. But because there are differences, I think that's why this season of transition of preteens as they move out of their children's ministry into youth ministry, I think it's why it's such an important season for them. It can be so critical in a child's faith development and a family's connection to your church. Because if you think about it, right, during this transition, during this seasonal time, kids, preteens often feel insecure, right? Parents have a lot of questions, especially if it's their oldest. And you as a leader are just trying to make sure that this transitional age group stays engaged. So in this session, in the next little bit, we are going to talk about three ways to ensure that all of your bases are covered as you help preteens transition successfully out of your children's ministry and into the youth ministry. So let's jump right in. The first one, the first tip, the first way, is to work together with your counterpart. So work together with your youth ministry leader, your youth pastor, whoever it is that runs the youth ministry program. Work closely with them. I think sometimes there can be a weird competitiveness between the two positions or the two ministries, but we have to understand that we are all on the same team. We have to remember that we are all on the same team. And what value it is when a youth pastor realizes that the best way to grow his or her youth group is to invest in the children's ministry, right? Because that is going to feed into his or her ministry. And some of you might be thinking, well, I'm both, right? Like, I'm the children's ministry leader and the youth ministry leader. So this part will be really easy, right? Because you can work really closely with yourself. But talk with your youth ministry leader, all right? And think about some of the ways that you can maybe pull elements of the youth ministry into your children's ministry. Now, this might be as big as creating almost even a separate ministry or separate class for your preteens. And so their Sunday morning structure looks completely different than all of the other kids. Or it could be as simple as changing the way you do small group time, or their walk-in time looks a little bit different than the other kids. So think about ways to almost make like a hybrid ministry for those preteens. That's a little bit of children's ministry, but a little bit of youth ministry as well. So one of the ways we do this at our church, is an easy way to do it, is through small group questions. So our youth ministry, the first three questions typically in any small group time are just some fun, silly, would you rather questions that encourage students to talk and to loosen up a little bit and to share. And so we just added some would you rather questions to our preteen ministry time. So that's an easy way to do it. Maybe you give your preteens a little bit more independence, right, on a Sunday morning. So rather than having to go to a certain classroom or having very structured time, you give them more time to just kind of hang out, or they get to choose what activities they get to do instead of being told, hey, this is what we're going to do today, right? You can give them an option, give them some choice, give them some ownership in the things that they will get to be doing. And honestly, it's hard for us as children's ministry leaders to remember this, but it's true. Preteens are often tired of kids ministry and ready to move up to the youth group. And while we may not like this, because we're like, no, we want to keep you forever, right? This is a good thing. We want our preteens to mature and to grow and to want to move on to something different and something bigger in their eyes. So we want them to be developmentally ready to move on. It's a good thing. But when we give them little bits of the youth group in the children's ministry, it helps keep them engaged at a really transitional time when a lot of preteens just start checking out. So think about how your small group is structured, maybe even how your curriculum or your schedule, again, on a Sunday morning is structured. Maybe you even use a completely separate curriculum for your preteens than you do for the rest of the kids. And so finding ways to make that hybrid ministry, right? What are some things that the youth ministry does consistently that you can pull into your children's ministry with your preteens? Another way to work with your counterpart is to invite that youth pastor or youth ministry leader to certain events, right? So maybe they are a crew leader at VBS for your fifth grade crew or your preteen crew. Maybe there's a special youth day in the kids area where the youth get to take over for the morning. And so the preteens get to see the youth ministry leaders beforehand and start building those relationships while they're still in children's ministry, so that the first time they walk into the youth program is not the first time they've ever seen the youth pastor. Also talk with your youth pastor and talk about important milestones, right? What are some things that either you as a children's ministry leader want to see your preteens be able to do before they move on? Or what are some things that the youth pastor really values in students as they come up into their program and into their ministry? So what are some important milestones that you want the preteens to have accomplished or the preteens to reach before they graduate from your ministry? This might be, you know, spiritual, biblical things like being comfortable praying out loud or knowing how to look up a Bible verse, right? Like, that's very simple, but I think you'd be surprised at how many preteens and students and kids don't know how to do that. Any other spiritual practices that you want them to be familiar with, or serving, you know, finding a way in your church to serve and to be part of a serving volunteer team. It could even be simple things like, can they order their own food at a restaurant, right? Like when youth go on trips, they often stop at a fast food restaurant on the way there or the way home for lunch or dinner, right? And my husband as a youth pastor is not going to help all the kids order their food. Like that's just not on his radar, right? But a lot of kids don't know how to order their own food at a restaurant. So a very simple thing to help meet a milestone like that would be have a game night and, you know, go out to dinner to Chick-fil-A or Taco Bell or Burger King, wherever, right? With your preteens and help coach them and walk them through what it looks like to order their own food at a restaurant. Another maybe milestone would be, have they spent a night away from home, right? Youth trips can sometimes be 3, 4, sometimes even 5 nights away from home. So what can you do in your children's ministry to give preteens the opportunity to spend a night or two away from home so they get used to that and can build up that kind of resilience and that habit as they move into the youth program? Now, of course, none of these milestones will prevent a student from moving up, but it's a great way to talk with your youth pastor and say, hey, you know, are there any weaknesses or any skills that you see they're lacking? And how can we help prepare students and preteens as they move out of children's ministry and into the youth ministry? And then finally, an easy way to work with your counterpart is celebrate this transition and make it a smooth one. So be excited for your preteens. Of course, now you might be excited for some of them to move on, right? And they're not your, I don't want to say problem because kids aren't problems, right? But they're not your issue to handle anymore. They're not yours to kind of rein in anymore. So you might be like, yes, take them, go to youth group. But there are probably students that you're disappointed about moving on, right? Because you've invested in them since they were babies. And so sometimes it can be hard for us as children's ministry leaders because we want to hold on to them. But do what you can to celebrate the transition, to pump up your youth pastor to your preteens, right? Make it exciting for them and let them go, right? Let them move on. Let them leave the nest of children's ministry and move on to youth ministry. And a really easy way to make it a smooth transition is sit down and just have a meeting with your youth pastor. And actually one of the free downloads included with this session is kind of like a conversation guide or a checklist that you and your youth pastor can go through as you talk about this transition and how to make it a smooth one. But sit down with them with a list of all the preteens who are moving up and say, hey, you know, here's who's coming up. Here's their parent contact info, right? Like share that kind of stuff. And maybe you even say, hey, Avery, she's got a really severe peanut allergy, you know, or John and Michael are super cool. Like they're great. But if you sit them next to each other, they're going to talk the whole time, right? Like maybe you just give your youth pastor kind of a heads up about some of the personalities and some of the spiritual gifts even, or, you know, the talents that your kids and your preteens have so that the youth pastor just has an idea, right? Just knows, right? Maybe I won't put John and Michael next to each other, or, hey, when Avery's around, we're not going to have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, right? So just making it a smooth transition and thinking about the timing of it, which actually we'll talk more a little bit about later, because it kind of ties into this second point that we're talking about, right? So that first one is work together with your counterpart, create a hybrid ministry, pull in elements of the youth group, give them a taste of what they have to look forward to. All right. The second way to help kids transition successfully from children's ministry to youth ministry is to cultivate intentional connections. So how can you help these preteens connect with each other? Because we have to remember where they're at developmentally, right? So preteens are beginning to form their own philosophy of life and faith. So they're starting to own it. It's becoming their own. But they're also really thinking through how they themselves fit into that worldview that they are starting to create. Barna research has shown that by age 13, a child's worldview is pretty much solidified, right? So by the time they are in kind of mid to late middle school, their worldview is created and is solidified. And they're just trying to figure out, how do I fit into that worldview? This is when they're starting to question their faith as it does become their own. So they're asking the tougher questions. They're not just accepting of, oh, well, the Bible says so anymore, right? Like they have the tougher questions that sometimes are harder to answer. Abstract thinking emerges, and they can finally begin to see, fully see the perspective of others. and fitting into a community, which I think is, this is probably the most important one, but developmentally at this stage as preteens, fitting into a community with their peers increases in importance exponentially. So when they hit those preteen years, having that community, having the group of people that they belong to becomes critical to their self-identity and to their self-worth and their self-value. So kids who enter the youth group with established friendships are more likely to stick around to establish more. Let me say that again, okay? Kids who enter the youth group with established friendships are more likely to stick around to establish more. I saw a perfect example of this the other night. We did a kind of like a youth preview night with our fifth graders. And so our fifth graders got to attend the Wednesday night youth group instead of going to their regular midweek programming. And so it wasn't necessarily anything special. It was just a normal night. But it was an opportunity for them to say, hey, this is what it's going to look like, right? This is what you have to look forward to. And I was there, I was standing, I was helping pass out pizza. And I noticed one of the little, not little, she's big now because she's a preteen, but one of the girls, new fifth grade girl, rising sixth grade girls walk in the door. And it was one that I had had in a small group just a couple of years ago. And so I knew her, I knew who she was. And she's kind of a shy, more shy child, right? She's a little bit more timid, a little bit more quiet, but she walked in and she looked around the room. And it was a youth group room, right? Like there's a big gym. There's a few kids playing basketball, some over here playing nine square in the air, right? Like some other kids just chasing each other around, like whatever middle schoolers like to do, right? But she walked in and you could see the look of terror on her face. And so like she stood at the wall. She was very nervous. Her body language said she was not comfortable. And so I handed out one more piece of pizza and turned to start walking over and she had walked out the door. But a few minutes later, she walked back in with two of her friends from her fifth grade small group, and her entire demeanor was totally different. Her body language was different. She was much more confident. She was smiling. She was laughing. She looked excited to be there. And so it was just the perfect example to me of how important those friendships before entering youth group can be such a valuable and vital part of making that transition smooth and easy. So what can you do to help preteens make connections with each other, particularly in that last year in children's ministry? So a few ideas, right? Create memories together, right? So have events that are just for them to hang out and bond and build those friendships, whether it's special events, or overnight camp, or even part of the way you do VBS can really help with this too, but doing special events that allows them to build those friendships. We used to try and have preteen game night, like once a quarter, maybe once every couple of months. And all it was, hey, we're gonna have game night at either my house or another leader's house. Bring your favorite board games. We're gonna have pizza. Parents, you can pick them up by 9:30, right? Like super low key, super easy. There was not a whole lot of prep or planning involved. It was literally just show up with pizza and board games. And those were some of the best nights with our preteens because they got to just hang out and have fun and build those relationships together. Because for preteens, fun and games are how their brains are wired to learn and to connect with each other. So like fun is a preteen's love language, if you want to say it that way. So know that downtime and playtime is okay. Not everything that you do on a Sunday morning has to have a deeply spiritual focus, right? I know that we only get them an hour a week, and that's if they actually come every week, right? So you want to use that time to its full potential, which is great. I'm all for that. And I completely agree. But sometimes that means just giving preteens space to play, giving them space to hang out, to connect, to have fun with each other. Because when preteens connect with each other, then those deeper spiritual conversations will happen more easily. So be okay with some of your time on Sunday morning, or even an entire event, right? Like a preteen game night that's purely focused on creating space for preteens to have fun together. Another way to help cultivate intentional connections between them and between them and your church is to give them leadership roles that both like right now as they're in your children's ministry, but also roles that they can look forward to as they head into the youth group. So plug those middle schoolers into your preschool ministry, right? Our policy at our church was that they had to be students or, you know, whoever is serving, you have to be 5 years older than the age group that you're leading. So that meant our middle schoolers were perfect preschool volunteers. So plug those middle schoolers into your preschool ministry while they're still in your children's ministry. So while they're still preteens, while they're still those fifth graders, give them jobs to do on Sunday morning while they're still with you, right? So maybe this is leading worship, helping pass things out, helping you set up or clean up, talking to them about what it looks like to be a leader. We had a few special Sundays throughout the year where I would actually pull our preteens out of their kind of what they were doing, because we had a separate curriculum that they were going through than the rest of our elementary kids. But we would pull them out and I would be like, okay, guys, you're going to lead our small groups this morning, right? Like, you guys get to be student leaders with the elementary kids. And so they would actually help run the morning. Preteens also, at least the preteens at our church, love to do the tech stuff. So if you need someone to run slides, sure, you could probably stand up with the clicker, right, and do it yourself. But if you can involve a preteen, give them that leadership role, let them run slides for you. Let them cut the lights when it's time to do worship or play a video. You know, let them do the sound. If, like, you would be amazed at how much preteens already know how to use a soundboard, right? Like, it's just crazy, right? These are our generation of digital natives, right? Are just born knowing how to do things, right? That not all of us are born knowing how to do, but give them jobs while they're still in your children's ministry. Can it be messy to have preteens lead in this way? Yes. Can it be awkward? Absolutely, right? Will there be mistakes? Most definitely. But it gives your preteens ownership and a chance to grow as leaders, especially in a season when they're already kind of checking out and moving on and to looking to see what's next. So it gives them that buy-in. Now, this is especially important too, if you're watching this and you're thinking, my church doesn't even have a youth ministry, right? Like, they will graduate and into nothing and just into big church or into the main service. And there's not even a youth group for them to graduate into. That's why it's so important to help them find ways to serve the larger body of the church. So whether this is greeting on a Sunday morning or ushering, helping pass the offering plates, reading scripture on stage, right? Like, finding a way to get them plugged in and serving, getting them involved, finding a place for them, showing them and making it super, super obvious what their next step is, especially if you don't have a youth ministry that they're going to be graduating into. Our children's pastor at our church right now does a phenomenal job with this, especially when it comes to VBS. So, you know, we have a VBS and all of the kids are broken up into crews, right, based on their age. Sometimes gender too, but with our fifth graders, they're not just regular crews, right? They're special crews and they get a special title of future crew leaders. So all week long, she refers to them, not as, you know, crew 49 or crew, you know, fifth grade crew, but as our future crew leaders. So she's already instilling in them that mindset of, hey, we want you back, right? We want you to come back. And even though this is your last year of participating in VBS as an attendee, we want you back participating next year as a leader. And so even doing something like that, where you're showing them what the next step is, you're hyping up the ways that they can serve and they can get involved and showing them how they fit into the larger body of the church or how they fit into the youth group. Another really easy way to help build connections between them and also between them and your church is to let them have some independence before they get to youth group. So we talked a little bit about this with, you know, the first point of working with your counterpart, but maybe your preteens get to choose certain things as part of their morning, or their time isn't as structured. You know, there's more time for them to just hang out a little bit, right? But giving them a little bit more, maybe they don't have to wear name tags, right? Like, maybe, ooh, I know in the children's ministry world, that's like scary because policies and safety, right? But when those kids graduate to youth group, they don't wear, maybe your church does. I've never seen a youth group that has check-in, right? And name tags in the same way that children's ministry does. So giving them some more independence. Think too about the timing of this transition of when the kids move up. Now, typically for us, we have our big promotion Sunday where all of the grades move up to their next class, right? It happens one Sunday a year in August, like right at the beginning of the school year for us, except for our preteens. Our preteens move up in May at the very beginning of the summer. And that's very, very intentional because the youth group typically has a lot of relationally focused relationship building events that happen throughout the summer. And when we allow our preteens to move up, like VBS is technically their last like kids event, right? But then after that, they're invited to all of those relationship building events that the youth ministry has. So they have all summer long to start doing things like messy game night and water wars and, you know, movie nights and things like that, that helps them get plugged in and build relationships with the existing youth group so that when it comes to the fall, they already have those relationships and connections built because they've worked on them and done fun things with the youth group over the summer. So this transition, and especially this part about cultivating intentional connections, reminds me of Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. And the NIV version says this: I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, this verse is really interesting, and that part in verse 17 where it talks about that I pray you being rooted and established in love. A lot of people have a misconception about this verse and think that it's being rooted and established in God's love. But the context of this verse is that Paul's saying you'd be rooted and established in love for one another. So you would be rooted and established in a community that cares about you and that wants to grow together, right? So by helping preteens build those friendships before they graduate to the youth ministry, you are helping them become rooted and established in love for one another so that, right? So that they would have the power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep, and that they could be filled to the full measure of what God has in store for them. So think of that as a prayer or a benediction for your preteens and your preteen ministry, that they would be rooted and established in love for one another, that that community would be built. Because when you cultivate those intentional connections, it's going to help make the transition much smoother for those kids. All right, on to point number three, way number three. So we've talked about working together with your counterpart, cultivating intentional connections. This last one is encourage parents, because they, of course, are a key and important part of this whole transition. So how can you help the parents make this transition too? First thing, over-communicate, right? If you've been in ministry long, then you know that you really can't over-communicate very much at all, but over-communicate as much as possible. Make sure parents know when the transition is happening, what it looks like, what it means for their kids, where to drop their kids off, right? Like what maybe the check-in policies and procedures are, if there are any, or even just say, hey, you don't have to check in with a name tag anymore. You can drop them off outside the door. They'll walk in the building and they're at youth group, right? Like letting them know some of those differences and changes so that parents have answers to a lot of the questions that they may have. So at the very, very least, maybe you send out an email, right? And you just say, hey, parents, we're so excited for your fifth graders to be joining our youth group. Here's the youth pastor's contact info. And here's the first youth event, right? Be on the lookout for an email from the youth pastor soon, because hopefully as you work with your counterpart, you'll both talk about a communication strategy to kind of hand parents off and pass them between you as leaders. Maybe you even over-communicate in the form of a fifth grade graduation or a special celebration or special event that allows you to celebrate the fifth graders and how you've seen God working in them and what you're excited for them as, you know, what they're going to do next. Maybe you do it during a VBS times, right? So parents are already used to checking their email every day for an update about VBS, and you include it then. But do what you can to answer all the parents' questions, right, before they make that transition. Of course, you won't be able to answer all of them, right? But do what you can to over-communicate. And as parents are asking questions, help train them, help teach them to start talking to the youth pastor as well. So you as the children's ministry leader, especially if their kids have been with you since they were little, parents are used to coming to you when they have questions or concerns, or they, you know, need a quick answer to something, which is great. Like hopefully you've established that relationship with those parents, that they feel comfortable coming to you with questions. But as their kids transition into the youth group, you want to do what you can to start positioning your youth ministry leader to be the one to answer some of those questions now, right? So even if you know the answer to a question, you can respond and say, hey, that's a great question. Here's what I think, but I really recommend that you reach out to the youth pastor and double check with him or her, and encourage parents to start deferring to your youth ministry leader whenever possible. And set up your youth ministry counterpart, your coworker, for success so that they can be the spiritual leader now in their kids and the preteens and students' lives and in families' lives as well. Of course, that doesn't mean that you're just never going to talk to these families again, right? That's not what I'm saying, but it can be a great way to support the leadership of your youth ministry if you help parents start deferring to them. Another thing about that too, if you get a lot of parents asking the same question, just let your youth pastor know. Say, hey, a lot of parents are asking me about this. Just wanted you to know, right? It doesn't have to be like, oh, you should probably answer them, or like, you should probably hold a meeting and answer, right? Like, don't, nothing like that, but just say, hey, a lot of parents have been asking the same question. I just wanted to give you a heads up. And then the last thing when it comes to encouraging parents, a couple more things, but the first one is emphasize the importance of this season and this transition in their kids' lives. So encourage parents to send their kids to everything, right? Anytime the youth ministry is doing something, anytime the doors are open, encourage them to get their preteens there, especially those first couple of months, right? Because a lot of times what tends to happen is preteens are nervous, right? They're anxious about it, and rightly so, right? Like, they're leaving a ministry where they were the ones, you know, the large and in charge, and they were the oldest. And now they're moving into another one where they're smaller and they may not know everybody. And preteen is a weird age anyway, right? Like, there's hormones and awkwardness. Like, there's just a lot happening, right, in a preteen's world. And so they're nervous and anxious. And they say, mom, I don't want to go tonight, or I have too much homework tonight, even though they might not, or they might, right? But mom, I don't want to go tonight. I'll go next week. And then next week comes around. I don't think I want to go tonight. I'll go next week. Next week rolls around, right? And it keeps happening. And then 3 months later, that child has been totally disconnected with the youth group. And it's even harder to get involved and get plugged in. So emphasize with your parents how important this transition is, and encourage them to almost make their children go, right? Like, not in a negative way, not in a forceful way. And of course, there are circumstances when parents should not make their child go, but really encourage the parents to say, hey, these first 2 months are critical. Your child's going to feel uncomfortable. Your child's going to feel nervous. That's okay. Encourage them to push through that awkwardness, to push through the discomfort, and assure parents that you as leaders are doing everything you can to make it less awkward, right? But it's just part of a season of transition, is that there's awkwardness, right? There's change, there's fear, because there's a little bit of unknown. So do what you can to encourage parents to give the youth ministry a chance, basically. Encourage parents to encourage their kids to give it a chance and to try for at least a month or two before deciding it's not for them. So encourage parents and emphasize the importance of this season of transition. Because I don't think parents always fully understand, or they say, oh, you know, I don't want to force it. I don't want to make them go. Which again, in some circumstances is great, but in other circumstances, sometimes kids just need that little bit of a push. They just need that little bit of encouragement to push through something, even when it's awkward and uncomfortable. And finally, encourage those parents, right? It's hard for us as parents to let go and to give more independence to our kids and to watch them grow up, but continue to walk alongside those parents with your youth ministry leader and encourage them to let go a little bit too. Sometimes it might be nerve-wracking for them, right? To send their child on the first youth trip or to, you know, send them on the first youth outing or whatever it might be, right? But just continue to encourage parents that when they give their children, their preteens, their now middle school students, right, some independence, it gives them that space to build the community that they need to be rooted and established in love together so that they can grow in their faith. So those are three ways: work together with your counterpart, cultivate intentional connections, and encourage parents. Now, I am a super practical person, so I always want to know, all right, what's my next step? What's my action step? So here you go. Your action step after this session is, if you serve with the youth, schedule a meeting with the person who serves in children's ministry, all right? If you are a children's ministry leader, schedule a meeting right now or start a conversation right now to set up a meeting with your youth ministry leader. Put something on the calendar where you guys can have dedicated time to sit down and plan intentionally for this transition. Use the free downloads and the other resources that we have available as part of this session to help you have those conversations and know that I'm praying for you and your preteens as well. So let me pray for us to close out this time, and then I'll see you next time. All right, let's pray. God, I thank you for these leaders who are making the investment to ensure that kids can transition successfully from children's ministry to youth ministry. God, I pray blessings over their planning. I pray blessings and creativity and energy over the ideas that may be sparked from this session. Lord, I pray for good conversations between them and their ministry counterparts so they can work together. God, I pray for the relationships among the preteens, God, that you would help them be rooted and established in love for one another so that they may grasp how wide and how high and how long and how deep is the love of Christ and be filled to the fullest measure of you, God. Be with parents as they're making this transition as well. And Lord, just do everything you can, God, or do what you can, Lord, because we know you do a lot. We know you can do a lot, but Lord, just be obvious, be known, be so present in the lives of these leaders as they help kids make this transition. We love you, Jesus, and we do all of this for your glory and in your name. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thanks again for joining me. If you guys have any questions, let me know.